What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. Day after Easter. Did you survive the weekend, and how was how's the fam doing?
Yeah, the weekend was really good. It was kind of, you know, quiet around our house, not the usual Easter hubbub, but we did do a really cool scavenger hunt Easter egg thing for my kids. They're like 15 and 13 now, so we put money in the eggs, so it was a lot tempting than jelly beans.
when my kids were that age, we had to like ramp up the instead of just finding an egg, it was finding an egg with a really, really hard clue to get to the next egg.
Yeah,
and so it was way more of a challenge.
Yeah,
but, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a nice day, and today it's a stormy, blowy, crazy Monday. So,
yeah, well, it's a good day for us to talk about the ruler archetype.
Yeah, the last archetype that we're doing the overall deep dive for.
All right, so let's get into the big ideas here. So the ruler archetype, it's not chosen frequently. I think it might be that people have this view that it's very kind of abrasive and in your face, and it is to a degree. The big ideas are that it's about power and dominance. You know, if you think about a company like, you know, Hilton, you think of them as number one in their space. And, you know, there are lots of other hotel chains that are really awesome. But Hilton does a really good job of portraying themselves as kind of the number one in their spot. If, you know, they're not the Motel 6, you know, Tom Baudet leaving the light on thing. And that dominance in that space and the power that they have and the power they exude, that's part of their brand, right? So being number one is a big deal. They're typically the best of their class. They set the industry standard. Rulers, they value rules and order and systems, okay? So it's all part of that, you know, having dominance and keeping it. But on the warm and fuzzy side, the rulers will inspire people to do more. They push people to achieve more, to create better lives for themselves, to, you know, go above and beyond, because that's what they do with themselves and for themselves. That's how they created great brands. So you as a customer will probably be more successful just being around them and associating them with them. But to be clear, the ruler is really not about leadership. That's contained in the hero archetype. So if you think about this power and dominance thing, you'll get the idea, right?
Yeah. So, Kevin, I've got a couple questions before we move on. Mm-hmm. So do you think it'd be fair to say that the ruler also could possibly instill a sense of, like, exclusivity? Like you're part of the cool crowd or part of this group that, like, not everybody can be a part of, that kind of thing. Do you think that that could work well with this archetype?
Yeah, it very much so. And I think that later in this podcast, and when you get down to where we compare and contrast different archetypes, what I would do to answer your question is compare the difference between the ruler and the explorer.
Okay.
Where the explorer taps into wanting to experience new things, being, you know, like what, using your words, being part of the in crowd, because I deserve it, right? I am worthy of this new experience, so I'm going to go out of my way to experience it. With the ruler, it's more about who they are. It's, you know, it's their product, their service that's number one, and you want to associate with them. Not because you deserve it, because you want to associate with them. It's about them,
okay,
right? It's about their product and service.
Okay, so my next, that makes sense. So sorry I jumped the gun there. We'll get back to that. Okay. My next question about the ruler is, since one of the things that's very a strong characteristic of this archetype is to be number one or be best in class. So is it possible for a new company right out the gate, a startup, to be the ruler if they haven't proven themselves in their space yet?
I think that you can, but if you have savvy competitors who are doing this well, they will play against you on that point.
Sure.
If you have true head-to-head competition where everybody's voicing out their opinions of their competition, you know, most people really don't have that problem. Most, especially small and micro businesses, yes, they certainly have competition, but most of their competitors usually aren't doing a really great job of marketing, let alone branding. But those that are doing a great job of branding and they recognize that they've got a young, inexperienced, newbie company that's trying to portray themselves as a ruler, boy, that would be kind of an easy target.
Right.
I think, yeah.
But the flip side of that would be if there was a startup that came out with some really cool app that's going to solve a problem in a way that nobody's ever done it, and they chose the ruler, that could be a really effective brand strategy. Like, hey, I know we're new to the playground, but you're not going to believe this.
Or how about this? What if they have a patentable idea where they're the only one on the planet who can do this because it's such a brand new idea? Well, of course, you can pull off a ruler there because, hey, we're not only number one, we're the only one.
The only one, right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That clarifies some things. And also,
hey, tell us about the about alternative names.
Yeah, so we usually refer to this archetype as the ruler, but you could also use words like the king, executive, monarch, czar, royal, upper class.
Potentate.
What'd you say?
Potentate.
Potentate. Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah,
cool.
I've actually seen a couple of online brand people use that phrase. So
nice. Yeah. Cool. So, and there aren't any sub-archetypes for this one. It's just the ruler, right?
You're right. It's one of the two that we don't have sub-archetypes for.
Okay. So let's talk about some examples. You mentioned Hilton. That's a great example there. Definitely can make the case for being the best in their space. Another one, we got a few car companies actually that go head to head with this. We've got Mercedes, Benz, General Motors, and Rolls-Royce all take on this brand characteristic of being best in their class or best at what they do.
I think that GM has been doing a shift. Used to be the biggest company in the world, the largest company, the biggest car company in the world. And since their heyday, you know, back when my dad was an executive, you know, working at the facility in Warren, Michigan, and his boss was Lloyd Royce, the head of the big car division. You know, so he was a muckety muck. But back that was the heyday. You know, back in the 60s, 70s, early 80s, and I think they've shifted a little bit more to a kind of a neighbor approach.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to say, the neighbor. They've toned it down a little bit. Yeah.
But definitely Mercedes and Rolls-Royce are still there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Rolex watches, that's a really easy one to understand that they've taken on the ruler. American Express credit cards. That's a good one to understand. Back in my days when I used to own a restaurant, I didn't even take American Express cards because they charge so much more interest or processing fees than any other card, right? Because it's an exclusive club to have an American Express card, right?
Yeah, it's not really, but it certainly allows them to charge double and triple.
I know, it's just ridiculous. But yeah. And then the last example we had here was Hugo Boss for clothing. Yeah,
and even has the boss in the name.
That's true. So. Good name. That's right.
Okay, let's do a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So, like we said before, the ruler is a leader in its industry. They all are. And they're the dominant player. So they're the number one. People know that they set the standard that everyone else is measured by. And if you're the one setting the standard, you're at the top of the heap, right? They value order and rules. They're generally a little bit more on the sophisticated side and have a high-end quality for their products and services. And people should feel that if you purchase the product or the service that they're offering, that you're not going to be disappointed, because you're probably spending more and you're doing that because you recognize it, that they're the number one in their space. You're getting quality. You're willing to spend more for that higher end value, right?
Yeah.
So those are the pros.
Yeah. So the cons or the weaknesses, the ruler runs the risk of becoming too demanding or full of themselves, that people feel like they can't relate and the products and services become unattainable. So if you're too expensive or too whatever, you know, that's going to be good for maybe the 1%, but not everybody else. So that could turn a lot of people off. And if you're the ruler archetype, you may care or you may not about that situation. But that's just one thing to keep in mind. The ruler needs to strongly inspire people without being stifling or overwhelming. So you kind of, you can maybe equate that to like an overbearing parent that's like, you got to be the best, that kind of thing. That right. can get a little old.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, they can for sure come across as being arrogant, playing the one-upsmanship, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're, you know, it should come across in the things, their products and their services, not in just blatantly saying that kind of stuff, right?
If you think about like elite athletes, you know, if you think about someone like, you know, John McEnroe, he came across as arrogant and, you know, I'm better than you, right?
Possibly.
But someone like, yeah. right? Like Michael Jordan, he inspires people, right? You know, Kobe Bryant, he inspired people. So you're still the leader. You're still the number one in your space. You're still all that in a bag of chips. But to have that arrogance, I think, is dangerous.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So opportunities would be, let's say you have a competitor who portrays kind of a everyday, middle of the road, kind of easygoing brand, you know, like a neighbor, or they're just real kind of chill, you know, whether it's an innocent kind of thing or they take one of the lower energy archetypes.
Or they're not branding at all.
Or they're not branding at all, right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you definitely can stand apart from them by being better than, portraying yourself, yeah, we are a better choice. So the opportunity, another opportunity is that it's easy to portray yourself as higher end. And one of the goals that I have for all clients who I'm talking to about archetypes is one of your goals with building a great brand is to separate yourself from your competitors in a way where you don't have to fight over price. Because if you get into the price game, it is a downward spiral and everybody loses. So don't play the game. And the only way that you can play that game is having a great brand. Well, if you have a great brand that portrays the product or service as higher end, well, of course you're not going to play the price game, right? But you have to be in a space where you actually can convincingly demonstrate that there is value there, that you are actually a higher end product or service,
right?
Mm-hmm. So another thing is that the ruler taps into the emotions of wanting to do more and better, right? So I want to be a better person. I'm going to need to have those higher end products and services. I'm willing to go out of my way, spend more money, and do the things to have those better products and services because they simply are just better, right? So there's lots of opportunity there of how you portray yourself.
That sounds good. So let's talk about the threats. So the ruler archetype absolutely abhors chaos and loss of power. So that makes sense, right? So everything that they do is orderly and precise. And if they lose control of this, they feel powerless. And their clients expect them to have a system in place and to, you know, not lose that sense of order. The worst thing that can happen would be that they lose their place of dominance, right? It's hard to go from the ruler down to just being an average Joe. And then also being aware of being seen as power hungry. That's not something that you want to do. That could actually turn people off. So those are some things to consider to make sure that, you know, you've got a handle on if you're going to be the ruler archetype.
So do you remember way back in the mid-90s, late-90s, when Yahoo was the big, the thousand-pound gorilla in the world of search engines?
Mm-hmm.
And they were the one to beat. They were, anyway, who would have ever have guessed that anyone would ever be able to knock Yahoo off of that number one top spot? And along came Google, and with one simple change to an algorithm that delivered better results, they lost their number one spot almost overnight. It was pretty amazing how fast they lost that number one spot because of a better product. Being knocked off that spot is a terrible thing to happen. It's definitely a threat. You're always having to watch out for your competitors and what they're doing. You know, we all should be doing that anyway, but if we build a brand and we maintain our quality, then there's not a whole lot of risk, but you definitely have to keep your eyes open.
Right. That's a good example. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's word time. Yay. Tell us about some words.
All right. So the power words that can be associated with the ruler, some examples are accomplished, bold, brilliant, commanding, competent, dominant, dynamic, elite, high-powered, outstanding, prestigious, supreme, unbeatable, prominent, state-of-the-art, trailblazing, ultimate, and unparalleled.
Wow, that's a pretty bold set of words.
It is. I just feel empowered reading that. Yeah, and then some of the verbs could be achieve, command, conquer, defeat, dominate, excel, influence, master, outdistance, outrank, overpower, perform, surpass, sway, triumph, and win. So yeah. If you like these words and you want to learn lots more words that have to do with the ruler, as always, we have a word bank for this archetype as well. So we have word banks for all our archetypes, and you can get them for just $29.95 by contacting us at brandarchetypes.com. Yeah, and letting us know, and we can get those to you.
Excellent. And now that we have all 12 archetypes, basic archetypes in the queue, it should be a lot easier for our listeners to go back and compare and contrast. You know, if you say, you know, I was thinking about this one versus that one, listen to the past podcast and see which one resonates with you more. And absolutely take the questionnaire. If you haven't done that yet, if you're the first person for your company, go in, set it up first as a company, and then invite other people in your company to take it so you can see and compare and contrast the data. This is all going to be put into a single report. You'll be able to see how people answered, and it launches an amazing discussion. So once you get the results from the questionnaire and you're drawn to two or three maybe, you can come back and listen to each of the podcasts to kind of figure out which one resonates.
Absolutely. So just for our listeners who haven't taken the questionnaire or not familiar with it, you find it again at brandarchetypes.com. There's a link in the upper left-hand corner to the questionnaire. It's free and it's 90 some questions. You put your work hat on, answer the questions as you would for on behalf of your company. And then it will list all 12 archetypes in order based on your answers. And what Kevin was saying is that if you're the first person in there, you can create an account, again, all free, and through the questionnaire on the website, invite people, and then it will compare and contrast their answers and give you this cool little graph. So sure. just wanted to clarify that for people who haven't taken the questionnaire yet. And it's right. Free.
Yeah, free. It is. It is free? It's free. Okay.
Free. Free. Okay.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about visuals. So if I were to try to portray myself as the number one, you know, follow me, buy our products, or you're an idiot kind of feeling. And don't think I'm being harsh there. That's how rulers portray. Yes, they inspire, and you don't want to be offensive, but you kind of get, they do kind of have this edginess to them. It's like, yeah, we're kind of number one, and you know, if you don't want to, then maybe you're not right for us. But you know, we cater to the people who want to be number one because that's who we are, right? So to get that visually, you know, you're going to need to use bold fonts and really bold imagery. You know, people, you have to see this dominance and this just has to ooze power. So exuding that power, you know, that's how the presentation should feel. You know, to have people if you're showing people in your presentations and they're kind of relaxed and laid back and smiling and happy, That's probably not it. This is a much more serious brand archetype that's going to lead to more serious presentations. And that's not to say that you can't be relaxed, but you need to definitely exude that power visually, right?
Yeah. So what do you think as far as like energy level? I mean, obviously it's not super low, but it's not crazy big either, like hero or jester. So where do you think the energy level falls on?
I would put it the high side of midway.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably third or fourth on the list overall. But it's pretty consistently high. You know, you got to, dominance and power are energetic. You know, it's very, if you can successfully pull off a very calm power, you know, like the guru is very low energy, but there's a lot of power in having knowledge and information that, you know, that's the guru. In this case, I think it needs to be a little bit more in your face. And again, these are all rules that can be broken. The idea behind these podcasts is to get you to think about how the brand feels, you know, in weaving the right words in and in creating the essence of who you are wrapped with this new archetype idea, creating the visuals and knowing what your competitors are doing. It's this feeling that is kind of the essence of the brand archetype. There are actually no super, super hard and fast rules. You know, there's probably a couple, but in this case, I think that it should probably be a little higher energy, but it really depends.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, I mean, a good segue would be, let's compare the ruler with a couple of other archetypes. You know, so Amy, if I were to pick a super low energy archetype like an innocent or a mother or a neighbor, you know, how would the ruler feel compared to those?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would definitely feel like it would be more energetic, it would be more powerful, and it would be like, we're not just like pussyfooting around here. Like the ruler is better and more confident and better product, better service. Like it's just going to be better all around, and you're going to be better for it for having chosen the ruler brand.
Or I said earlier that you are all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
Yeah. All that in a foil-lined bag of chips.
Ooh, right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And speaking of jester.
Right.
Let me compare if I were a ruler and I was going up against a jester. Rulers are best of class. They get things done. And that's not to say jester can't be best of class, but the jester is definitely going to be seen as less serious. Remember, I said a ruler is kind of a serious archetype. Well, the opposite of being serious is the jester. So they are more about fun and playfulness and being a little bold and over the top and quirky. Rulers are definitely not that. You know, they're going to be inspiring, and they may be happy while they're inspiring you, but they're pretty darn serious in their processes. So I think a jester would be pretty easy to go up against with a ruler archetype if you can pull it off, right?
That makes sense. So what about some, let's talk about overlapping archetypes with the similarities. We talked a little bit about hero earlier. There are some similarities between hero and the ruler, but I think the biggest thing is that heroes get things done by super achievement, and rulers get things done by simply being the best of the best. So you had made the comment earlier that the ruler is not about leadership, where the hero is, and
right.
the ruler is just about being the best. But nonetheless, they are both high achieving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also, I think, some similarities about the outlaw. The outlaw archetype is really not all that concerned about relationships, and neither is the ruler. It's the ruler's kind of like, you either follow us or you don't, you like us or you don't, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and it's kind of your problem. I mean, that's kind of harsh, but that is in essence, they're not too worried about making everybody happy. They're worried about making the best product or service.
Right. So, yeah. If you really value high touch customer service and relationships are like integral, embedded into your company and your company corporate culture, you're probably going to pick an archetype like the lover or the mother or something like that. The outlaw and the ruler are definitely not so warm and fuzzy people.
Right. Brands, That's true. Yeah. So before we wrap this up, though, I wanted to ask you another question, Kevin. So we've mentioned before, we've talked about certain industries or things like that that lean towards certain archetypes. And I know we mentioned a couple car companies and we mentioned Hilton up there. But as we've been talking about this podcast, I can't really think of a particular industry that generally leans towards the hero. It's more like whoever's best in class of that industry is more like the hero. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true. Yeah. That it's not applied to entire industries, because how would you do that?
Right. You can't all be the best car maker or the best. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that so many car companies do portray themselves that way, I think that similarity and that the frequency of that appearing in that industry is indicative of the same logic of, you know, like, for example, used car dealerships are almost all Jester. And there's no good reason for that other than they all think that that's how they need to portray themselves.
Right.
And I think that the high frequency of rulers in the auto manufacturing space is a very similar kind of thing. It's just not as saturated. It's the logic behind it is very similar. Others are doing it that way. That's how we should succeed as well.
Right.
So
if you were to start a brand new car company, our advice to you would be don't be the ruler.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody else is. But what is Tesla? I mean, I can't. They're the most, other than Kia, which is not the ruler. But
they're definitely outlaw.
Yeah, but in my lifetime, the new car companies that I can think of that I can remember coming out that weren't already there is Kia and Tesla, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Tesla is, what'd you say, the outlaw?
Outlaw.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Elon Musk and everything that he does, how he behaves and the radical departures of norms and standards in the space.
Steve Jobs would have either loved each other or hated each other.
Yeah. They would have loved each other behind the scenes.
Right.
And hated each other publicly.
Right, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
To watch that, yeah.
Right.
So, all right. Well, we hope that this podcast about the ruler has inspired you to think more about your brand and your company. And if you're dominating your space, this might be a really good one to consider. If you have any questions or want to talk more about your particular company or brainstorm about ideas, we'd love to do that. We love nothing more than to talk about brand all day long. So you can call us or email us. Our contact information is at brandarchetypes.com. And again, if you want the word list for the ruler or any of these other archetypes, let us know. We can follow us on our Facebook page and all the other social media platforms. We are marketing people, so we're pretty much on all of them. You can find us at Brand Archetypes. And Kevin, what are we talking about next? We've done all 12 archetypes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to have to chat about that, come up with something really cool, and really start queuing up not just what we're going to talk about next, but kind of the priorities of what will be helpful for people to take these new ideas, assuming that people are going to take the questionnaire, go through the process of defining what archetype they want to pick based on the last 12 podcasts. And now the big question, how do you infuse this idea into your company, and how do you launch it? What are all the specifics, the to-dos?
Yeah, I think
there's so much for us to talk about.
There is. I think one we should talk about soon, if not next, is a little bit deeper dive into the actual brand discovery session, like how we walk our clients through that process. I mean, we're not going to reveal all of our secrets, but that process, and first you take the questionnaire, and then what's next, and then what's next, and then maybe get a couple of our clients on here to talk about their experience walking through that process and how it's changed their marketing. I think that would be good.
Yeah, too. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And in fact, here we're kind of riffing and talking off the cuff here, but I think getting our clients to talk about their experiences on all of these upcoming topics is going to be beneficial, because real people, having already gone through the same process, it'll reinforce the ideas.
Yeah. So. And if you're a regular listener or just joining us and you have questions or topics that you'd like us to talk about brand, drop us a line and we'll work it into our podcast schedule.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So next week we will have some to be determined mystery topic.
Sounds good.
So we'll talk to you next week, Amy.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, Kevin.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.